So today I'll be speaking from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I was thinking it would be suitable to start off by just reading through it and then afterwards break it down each verse individually. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So to start off with verse 1, when I was reading this, I think the phrase that sticks out to me the most, at least, is the call to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. In particular, the term living sacrifice, which, as far as I'm aware, it doesn't appear anywhere else in the Bible. Although there are certainly other parts with a similar message. When we hear the word sacrifice, we may think of the Israelites or some other religious group killing an animal on an altar, or maybe burning incense, or some sort of material offering. Or maybe we think of things that we can sacrifice ourselves these days, such as money or time. Many of us regularly participate in these sorts of sacrifices, whether we call them that or not. However, a living sacrifice, I would say, is unlike any of these other sacrifices. A living sacrifice is meant to be a continuous presentation of ourselves to God, a kind of a new lifestyle or worldview. Instead of only thinking about God in church, before a meal, before going to bed, we should always be honoring God through our thoughts and actions. This is not to say that regular church attendance or prayers are not needed. Those are very important as well. It's good to set time aside, especially for God, but our worships should extend outside of these things and be reflected in the rest of our life. A living sacrifice, I think, is meant as both a spiritual and a physical sacrifice. We need to make sure both our thoughts and our actions are according to God's will. Jesus says in John 4, verse 23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." So a living sacrifice is meant to be both our thoughts and our actions. And actually, I would consider Jesus to be the perfect example of a living sacrifice through his ministry, as well as his death and resurrection. Verse 2 starts with, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." This brings up the question, what exactly is meant by the pattern of this world, and how are we supposed to not conform to it? In my opinion, this is one of the most important questions in all of Christianity, and there's quite a lot of material in the Bible which talks about it, including much of Romans. Paul addresses a few examples of the pattern of this world and a few ways that we're supposed to be different. But I think that a really good place to start looking at this is actually in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. There are lots of good examples in there, mostly when Jesus is saying, "You have heard it said, this is what you should do, but I say to you, you should actually be doing this." For example, in Matthew 5, verse 43, we read, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." So in this point, Jesus is giving an example of a pattern of this world, the way that things are normally done, or have been done. And then Jesus says, "We are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So this is how we are supposed to not conform. We are to hold ourselves to a higher standard, indeed a perfect standard, following the example set by Jesus. Paul has presented early in Romans that human nature is inherently flawed ever since the fall of man, and we all fall short of God's perfect standard. This means that it's not simply enough to remove evil influences or distractions from our lives, since we are still sinful by nature, even without worldly pressure. Due to the sinful nature, we need to be transformed so that we can live and be truly in God's image. Paul says in the second part of verse 2 that once transformed, we'll be able to discern or know God's will. Our mind will know God's will, and if we have given ourselves as a living sacrifice, we'll not only know God's will, but we will do it as well. We cannot just outwardly follow a code or a set of rules, a good example being the many rules found in the Old Testament. We cannot simply follow a set of rules with an insincere mind, and we cannot have a transformed mind and let the body do as it pleases. As it says in James 2, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And also, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Similarly, the renewing of your mind that Paul talks about should be made complete in what you do. From my personal experience, though, I've found it much easier to have faith than to act on it. It's very easy to believe something or say you believe something or say to yourself you believe something than to actually act according to what you believe, which we hope is God's will. Another thing that came to my mind that I didn't notice as much is addressed in the Bible is the many distractions that are part of this world. The world seems to have a lot of distractions, and a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about them. Some examples could be video games, television, pop culture, or even good things, well, things that aren't inherently bad, like sports or working out or having a good career. Some of these are good things, some of these are distractions, but in excess, they can lead us away from God. It's all about making sure that we are prioritizing our faith and making sure it shows up in the other activities we do. In summary, we should be a living sacrifice to God and always live in a way that is honoring to him and follow Jesus' example. This involves both discerning God's will and acting on it, and is what Paul considers true and proper worship. And this isn't an easy thing to do, otherwise everyone would do it, but it's what we are called to do. As a final thought, I'd like to read 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you again for today, for its sorrows and its blessings. We pray that we can not conform to the pattern of this world, that we can have a transformed mind, and that we can know your will and act on it. We pray for strength and for encouragement as we go throughout our lives, and that we can enjoy the warm weather. In Jesus' name, amen.